Brought some props with me here this morning. Have to get him to stand up here. There we go. If you have your Bibles, turn to with me to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James chapter 1. We've been talking about putting faith into action. Putting faith into action. James is very practical in what he talks to us about. He wants us to know that we can put our faith, we can do things with our faith. I brought my weights here today with me. 40 pounds. Hopefully I don't hurt myself. Such laughter. Why is there laughter? We get it to go there, or is it not working for me? Go to the next slide for me, if you would. Lift the weights again. Okay, I did one. These weights I got 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we had a yard sale, and I don't remember how they ended up in our yard sale. I think it was Stacy's brother brought them to put in our yard sale or something along those lines. And they were sitting there, and I thought, you know, it would be good to have weights. It would be good for me to do some physical stuff like this guy on the screen here. It would be good for me, and so I bought these weights, and the problem with the weights is the times that they've been picked up are only the times that we've been moving. If you look at the top, I wish they were dusty. Well, the back is actually even more dusty. If you look at the top and the back, they're very dusty. They don't get used. Is that what weights were designed to do? Just stay in the package and sit and get dusty? James is going to talk to us this morning and give us some practical advice about doing more with the Word of God than just letting it sit and letting it get dusty, rather than just hauling it around with us when we go places. James, as we've been talking, is writing to persecuted, dispersed Jewish Christians. He's talked to them about persevering through their trials, about resisting temptations as they're occurring. He told us that trials are like the refining fire that help to purify us. Temptations come from our own desires, James tells us, and they're all around us, and the devil uses them to lure, remember that fishing illustration, he uses them to lure and entice us, to draw us away. Let's take a look at our scripture this morning, James chapter 1, verse 19. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James is going to continue on in his message here, and he's going to take it a bit farther. He's going to take it, and he's going to answer the question, how do I prepare to become a doer of the word? How do I prepare to become a doer of the word? How do I go from just hauling these weights around? How do I go from just carrying this around to being one who actually uses it the way that it was designed to be used? Sometimes we need to start walking before we can run. And that's what James is doing here, is he's progressing and setting us up to help us know how to prepare, how to get ready to be action-oriented in our belief. James gives us the first preparation to becoming a doer of the word. There we go. Listen carefully and respond slowly. Listen carefully and respond slowly. James tells us we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Everyone wants to be heard in today's day and age. Everybody wants to post to Twitter. Everybody wants to post to Facebook. And I don't know about your wall on Facebook, but it's been very full with people's comments and posts and thoughts and all of that kind of stuff lately. We want to be quick to talk about stuff. But James tells us we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. One way we can be quick to listen is in response to God's word. We need to be quick to listen to what God's word has to say in our lives. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." The man the psalmist is talking about is carefully studying God's word. Sometimes when we hear something, we want to just blurt out an answer. Or before the person is even finished, I don't know if you do this at all, but before the person's even finished, you're like, my brain's already there, so I'm just going to tell you what I think. And we want to do that. We want to just blurt out what we're thinking about. But James says we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry. We need to take time before we respond to people. We need to let things sink in before we just all of a sudden respond. We need to be slow to be angry. James doesn't say that we can't ever be angry. He says we need to be slow to anger. Why? Because anger that comes on quickly, where does that come from? Usually it comes from our own selfish desires. James had already talked about his desires. And when we become angry quickly, it's because we didn't get our way. That's usually why we become angry quickly. At least that's what happens in my life. When something doesn't go my way, all of a sudden it's like, oh man, why didn't that happen that way? I wanted it to blah, 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 blah. No, we become angry quickly because it's because of our own selfish desires. So James is saying, don't do that. You need to be slow to become angry. You need to kind of put that off. And the same with how we respond. He says the fruit of anger is not what we should be having in our lives. What is the opposite of anger? Love. We need to be showing love in our lives and not anger to other people. James says that anger does not produce righteousness. I don't know how many of you know what this dial is. The radio dial. We've gone digital. And we miss out on a lot of things sometimes when you go digital. You have the numbers there, but you don't get to see the full dial and the full spectrum. The radio dial used to have the little knob you could turn and turn it to get to the station. You have to do that little tweaking just to get it just right, just so you could hear exactly what the person on the radio, what they were singing or what they were saying, all of those things. And when it comes to listening, we want to hear one message. But sometimes on that radio, it would just be a little off. And you would start to hear some static come in, or you'd start to hear some other voices come in, and all of a sudden it was bad. The same thing happens when you're traveling. If you're listening to the radio and you start leaving that area where the radio station's broadcast comes in, and all of a sudden you start to hear something else, and your brain starts trying to filter that out, and all of a sudden your brain is working harder than it needs to work because you're getting multiple messages in at once. The same thing goes for listening. Sometimes we're doing things, or we're trying to work on something else, or we're having another conversation when we really should be focused on one thing. Sometimes we're digging into God's word, but we're distracted by what's on this. We're trying to do multiple messages, and we need to be quick to listen. We need to be focused in on one message. I don't know how many of you have ever gone through something, whether it's your spouse or whatever, but having a conversation with them, and they start talking, and then your mind goes somewhere else. I see people shaking their head, no, that never happens to me. Never. You start hearing the message, and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, they say something, and it triggers. And your mind just wanders. And then they ask you, you hear the question, and you're like, oh, wait, what were you talking about? Stacy did that to me a couple weeks ago. We were talking about something, and she all of a sudden noticed, I think, I was zoned out. And she was like, did you hear what I said? Thankfully, I'd heard enough of what she said that I could repeat it to her. But we need to stay focused on one message. We need to tune in to that one station. And so often, when it comes to God's word, we're not quick to listen to one message. We want to be taking on all of these other messages and trying to stay distracted from everything. Listening requires a choice of where I place my attention. Listening requires a choice of where I place my attention. James says we need to be quick to listen in preparation for being a doer of God's word. Are you taking time to truly listen? Are you listening to what God has to say to you? Are you able to set aside your distractions and listen to that one message? The second thing James tells us is to be prepared to be a doer, you have to remove the baggage and receive the word. You have to remove the baggage and receive the word. James says that there is filthiness and wickedness in our lives. It's the wording here is like taking off unnecessary clothing, things you don't need. If I was going to go running today, again, something that I don't normally do much of unless I'm being chased, if I was going to go running today, I would not go running in a suit. I would not put my backpack on. I would not try to carry 40 pounds of weights. It wouldn't be productive in my running. I mean, maybe it would help my muscles, but if I was going to run a marathon, this isn't how I would go at it. You would run a marathon in the right type of clothes. If you've ever seen runners, they usually wear shorts, but they're very light shorts. Their shirts are very light. They try to get as much productivity out of their running as they can. They don't want extra baggage. And that's what James is saying here. We need to remove the baggage of the filthiness and the wickedness in our lives. We need to take those things off because they're not healthy for us. They're not productive in our walk with God, and we need to put on the word. These are believers in Christ. They've already received the word. They already have the word, but James is telling them here that they need to take it in. They need to contemplate it. They need to be thinking on it. They need to be focused on God's word and what he has to say. So how are you doing on taking off the baggage in your life? Taking off the filthiness, the wickedness. Sometimes the things we look at, we say, oh, well, that's sin. We don't think of it as filthiness. That sounds bad. Wickedness, that sounds bad. But these are the things that James tells us we need to take off and put God's word into our lives. So James is preparing these Christians, and first he says you need to be quick to listen, you need to be slow to speak, you need to remove the baggage and receive the word of God. And then he goes into talking about two deceptive beliefs that we have as Christians. And the first is that I can just listen and grow. I call this the principle that is, I can just come to church, I can just sit in the pew, I can just go out and then live my life. That I'm not actually doing anything more than just coming in and sitting down on a Sunday morning. The deceptive belief is that I can just listen and then grow. That's it. I don't have to do anything. That is a lie. The one who looks into the Word of God can see what he or she looks like. The Word of God shows us the things that we need to change. If we don't respond to the Word, James calls that person a hearer who forgets. The opposite of that is a doer, someone who has action. This person is going about their lives in such a way that their focus is studying God's word. If we begin to put to practice God's word, if we begin to take this case and set it down, open it up to what God's word has to say in our lives and begin to see, okay, these are the parts. These are the things we need to do. These are the actions we need to take. James compares it to a man who looks in a mirror and he sees his face and he goes away and he doesn't do anything about it. If I had a mirror and I came to it and I just been out working and I have dust and sweat and my hair's a mess and I need to shave and I look in a mirror and I go, yeah, there's not much up there. I know. If I look into the mirror, okay, the dirt. Let's just go with the dirt then. If I look into the mirror and I see that and I walk away and I say, oh, there's nothing I need to do there. I'm fine. There's nothing I need to change. I brought my Mr. Potato Head here today. I've never had a Mr. Potato Head, so I think I might have put him together a little bit wrong this morning. I'm not really sure. But the Mr. Potato Head, like, I don't know what's wrong with him, but I think he looks great. This is how we come before God. We look at ourselves in the mirror. God's word shows us what we truly look like. We look at God's word as a mirror, and it says, you need to get rid of the filthiness and the wickedness in your life. You need to get rid of these things. And this is how we come, and we say, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need to do anything. And then we walk away. James says that's not how you're supposed to act. You're supposed to be a doer of the word. The word is supposed to be penetrating your lives and your hearts so well that you see what you look like and it changes you. God's word changes you. And so we begin to change and things start getting put in the right place. And maybe it's not exact where things are supposed to go, but we begin to start to see a little bit more similarities to what we're supposed to look like. And so then all of a sudden we start seeing, okay, but then we realize, oh man, he's upside down. That isn't good. So we need to make some more changes. And God reveals these things to us. And slowly we begin to put things, go, oh man, the arm's on the wrong side. That's not good. The ear's in the wrong spot. And slowly we begin to see the things that God wants us to change in our lives and how we want to look and what we need to do and all of that stuff. And so we begin to see kind of what it's supposed to look like. He's missing an arm. Let's put that on that side. And so we begin to see this face. We begin to see what he looks like and what he's supposed to be. And that's what God's word is supposed to show us. We're supposed to go from not really knowing to being able to look more like what his word says, to see the reflection and say, okay, God's word says this needs to change. We've been given a mirror to see what we look like. When we read God's word, we need to ask the question, how can I apply this to my life? What is it that God's word is asking of me to do in this passage? And this isn't just a Sunday thing. This is a Monday through Sunday thing. What is God's word asking me to do on a daily basis? The second deceptive belief is that religious acts will save me. Religious acts will save me. James is saying, it's great to do lots of things. And so if we come into church and that's part of what we do, that's fine. Baptism, that's fine. Communion, that's fine. But if that's what you're expecting to save you, that's not going to save you. The actions you do don't save you. Now, those are things we're commanded to do as we have a relationship with God. But the actions aren't the things that save you. Paul tells us, for by grace are you saved, not by works. So while James is talking about these things that we need to be able to do, the putting our feet to the floor and putting our lives into action, there are things to do with our faith. While James is talking about those things, he's not saying, well, those things are going to save you. Not at all. Our actions are a representation of our heart. The two are connected. When Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Those who do things. One of the things that James mentioned is in controlling your tongue when he talks about these religious acts. Controlling your tongue. Well, he just talked about being quick to listen and slow to speak. Our tongue is an indicator of our heart. Our tongue is an indicator of our thoughts and our mind and what we believe. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've gone to the Detroit Auto Show a couple times, and there's a lot of cars there. Cars there that I'll never be able to afford. Cars there that I would never even want to afford because I don't know what I would do with them. This is one of those cars that I wouldn't know what to do with. But what if someday I saved up money? I have a nephew, and he's saving up to buy a Corvette. He's 10? He's 10 years old. He's saving up to buy a Corvette. He wants the Corvette. Don't know what year he's going for. He just wants one. But what if I saved enough money up to buy a Corvette someday? But let's say that Corvette didn't have an engine in it. I saved enough money to buy a Corvette without an engine. What good would that car do to me? It would be nice to go out and I could wash it and I could polish it and I could make it look real nice. Maybe I could even go and sit in it, but it's not going to take me anywhere. It's not going to do anything for me. And what James is talking about here is that the good things, the things that look good on the outside, they're not what save us. It's where your heart is at. It's what you believe. It's what God has done for you that saves you. The same goes for somebody who is just going through the motions. They may look good on the outside, but their path is towards destruction, the Bible tells us. Having actions involved with our faith, it's important. But that's not what saves us. Having actions involved with our faith, it's part of our relationship with God. It's part of that relationship that causes us to do those things or to want to do those things. The next part of James preparing people to be doers of the word is two not so simple actions. I say not so because he lists them here and they seem like they could be pretty easy things to do, but when you actually have to put your feet to the floor and do them, sometimes it's hard. Like I said, sometimes you have to walk before you can run, and so these are kind of not so simple actions, and these aren't a list of exhaustive things, like you do these things and you're good. He was giving them specifics for their day, for specifics for their lives and what things looked like. The first one is this. Get out and do ministry. Get out and do ministry. James is talking to Christians. He's not just talking to the leaders of the church. He's talking to all believers here. And he's saying, get out and do things with your faith. He lists some very specific needs of the society that he was talking to, and that was to visit orphans and widows. Do we still have orphans and widows today? So this can be a very practical thing for us as well, but he's not limiting it to orphans and widows. What about single parents? Do you think they could use some support from the church? Yeah. I love the song they did before this, like, help me to know that I need to tell you about the things that I need. Like, it's very relevant to what we're talking about this morning, to get out and do ministry. What are some things we could do to get out of our comfort zone and do ministry? You could take somebody a meal. Maybe if they're a single parent, maybe they need somebody to watch their kids for a little while. You could go over and help fix up things or maybe do some house cleaning for them. People have needs. And James says, get out and do ministry. There's ministry to be done here in the church, but there's ministry to be done out there as well. And your ministry isn't only here. Your ministry is out there as well. When I was going through the interview process with you guys, they talked to me about not just doing stuff in the church, but doing stuff in the community. Why? Because we minister out there too. Your mission field is as you walk through those doors. That's where we go out and minister, in our community, in the places you work, where you live, the people you talk with when you go to stores, that's where you minister. The second action James lists is to be unstained or clean from the world. And I said these were not so simple actions. Sometimes they're not so simple. Sometimes the filthiness and the worldliness kind of oozes in and we miss it until God's word points it out to us, that what we're doing isn't something that is biblical. How do we stay clean from the world? How do we stay clean from all of the things that are around us? James has already given us part of the answer. He says we need to persevere through trials. He says we need to resist temptation and the desires that come from within us. He says we need to remove filthiness and wickedness in our lives. He says we need to carefully study God's word. He's already given us that answer in how we need to be staying clean when we're living in this world. He didn't say, you need to just get out of the world. You need to just, you know, go find a convent somewhere and commit yourselves and not be a part of this world. That wasn't what Jesus said either when he said, don't be a part of the world. He was talking about don't be part of the sinfulness that is in the world. I said, our mission is through those doors. That's where we have to go. We have to go out into the world to minister. We have to go out into the world in order to share our faith with those who don't believe. If we don't go out there and do it, it's not going to get done. That's God's plan. We are God's plan as a church to go out and share the gospel with others. That's his plan. If I was God, would I have come up with that plan? I don't know. But that's his plan, that we're supposed to go out through those doors and share his love to the world, share his message. James is helping these early believers in how to pick up these weights. He says you need to start light. You know, you can't start with 50 pounds on there. You need to start light with what you're doing. But he's helping them to figure out that God's word is more than just words on a page. It's meant to be lived out in our lives. It's meant to be in actions. It's meant to be through doing, being doers of the word, becoming and doing what the Bible tells us to do. Conclusion this morning. The Christian life is belief transformed into action through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is belief transformed into action. It's what we believe. It's what God's word says, transformed into our going out and doing it through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what James is talking about. Doing this, living out our faith. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love for us. God, I praise you for James writing this and giving us practical, real-life ideas, things that we can do to live out your word. God, sometimes we read things and we don't know what we're supposed to do with it. But God, give us power through your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding through your Holy Spirit to be able to apply your words to our lives so that we don't just say we believe things, but we're actually walking what we believe. We're actually doing the things that we say we believe. God, give us strength through this week. Give us the ability to have conversations this week with others in order to share your love with power through the Holy Spirit. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.